shelter. Got a lot to give, but I don't know how to help her. I should just let it go till they learn how to grow and how to liberate. Everybody says that she's looking for a shelter.
It's 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. The next hour programming. All the opinions and views expressed therein are not necessarily those. KUCI, UCI, or UCI, University of California Board of Regents. Using now in a Talking Animals, with music from Dada, KUCI.
Waiting to go to heaven.
That's music from Dada with a song called Dog, entirely appropriate. I guess we have something to do it later on. But as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine, and streaming live, of course, on the internet at KUCI.org. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. First, I'd like to tell you that for the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. And I absolutely urge you to use that number and call us at any point in the show. I'm telling you, we love to get calls. Otherwise, we get a bit lonely. Of course, other ways to be in touch include emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com and checking out our wonderful website at talkinganimals.net. www.talkinganimals.net. Again, that's .net, folks, as Serena so enjoys ribbing me about. And speaking of which, before we move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another stirring rendition of the Serena Sharp Show. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. It's been about 6 months since we launched Talking Animals, and we've been enormously fortunate during that time to have a long string of terrific guests, including in recent weeks Dan Matthews, who's the Vice President of Communications at PETA, and not coincidentally the Chief Strategist behind all the high-profile campaigns, who first became an activist, animal activist in fact, as a teenager growing up right here in Orange County. More recently, we spoke with Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald, a highly regarded Colorado-based veterinarian, one of the stars of the Animal Planet series Emergency Vets, and a veteran stand-up comic. Well, I had a wonderful, wide-ranging conversation with Cindy Caraccio, the director of the Austin Zoo, which is not at all a zoo in the conventional sense of the word, but rather a highly regarded rescue facility in Austin, Texas. Last week, we spoke with Julie Lofton, a television writer-producer, who's made a documentary film called Best Friends Forgotten, which explores the pet overpopulation problem in this country, and is hosted and narrated by David Duchovny. Not only are all these interviews archived on our website, again, talkinganimals.net, but our string of great guests continue today when we speak with Meryl Marco, Emmy-winning television writer, author of many, many books, many of which actually have dogs or references to dogs in their titles, and the creator of Stupid Pet Tricks, a signature segment on the David Letterman Show for nearly 25 years. We'll hear about the dogs in Meryl's life, past and present, and how they've influenced her work in print and on screen when we present her interview a bit later in the program. Meanwhile, on Talking Animals, it's time for a weekly look at items of interest in animal news. And I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments along the way as we get into some of these items. Any questions you have about them, any other comments? It's 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. Turning now to interesting or important developments recently in animal news. Typically, these are local, regional, national, sometimes international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight and within your luck to get your comments on and discuss. We also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar. So, let's talk turkey, as it were. And again, as pretty much is our custom here on Talking Animals, we're going to initiate that by talking a little bit about Tiger Rescue. That's the facility that's been in the news off and on for several months in Colton, California. And that's where there was a so-called sanctuary for tigers and other big cats that had retired, ostensibly, from TV and film work or road work or whatever. Anyway, it's a very long story, but the short version is that the facility itself had been neglected for many, many years, and worse, the animals had been neglected for many, many years. So the proprietor is up on a string of all kinds of charges, most of them very serious, serious criminal charges. But in the meantime, many of those animals are still there for one reason or another. Some have been relocated, and people are desperately trying to find, you know, new homes for the rest of them, and have found places that will take them at some point. But part of the problem is, even if there's space for a bunch of tigers, let's say, got to have enclosures for them. So many of these places don't yet have those or don't yet have the funds to do that. So we'll come back to that in one sec. But meanwhile, So the beat goes on there. There's animals there that need to be looked after. So there's a really amazing man named Chuck Tracy, who otherwise runs the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center down in Ramona, California, near San Diego, with his wife, Cindy. And he stepped up in every sense of that phrase, actually quite a few months ago now, and has been overseeing the day-to-day operation of Tiger Rescue. But he's been doing so really with the ongoing help of a revolving battalion of volunteers who drive in from all over Southern California, in some cases beyond, to help out with the day-to-day care and feeding of these animals. So it's cleaning out the enclosures, it's washing down cages and water tubs. Again, when it was really, really hot in the summer, these tigers love to be hosed down, and some of them still do, probably. I haven't been out in a while, unfortunately, myself. But anyway, and then, of course, feeding them and doing anything else to make their lives more comfortable. There's other animals there as well. And so it's a really, really cool thing to do. If you're looking for some nice volunteer gesture effort, especially around the holidays, is to kind of, you know, help your fellow beast, if not fellow man, I really urge you to see if you can carve out a day to go out on a weekend, or even better on a weekday, because they're obviously sometimes harder pressed to find folks on the weekdays. But it's great work, and I hope you could just find the time to do that. If so, please email us at talkinganimals@aol.com, and we will hook you up with the folks that coordinate that. But on a very related note, part of the steps that are going to lead to these the remaining tigers, there are some I say like have been relocated to other facilities, but the vast bulk of the tigers and other big cats were there. So and mainly that's because even when they found places who were willing to take them, there aren't yet the enclosures necessarily to house them. So the Fund for Animals, which kind of oversees the operation of Chuck Tracy and Cindy Tracy's operation down there, and is of course involved with animals in all kinds of places and all kinds of ways, is trying to raise funds to get monies to build those enclosures so that those tigers and other animals can be relocated. So, again, if there's any way you could cut some kind of little contribution check, donation check, to Save the Tigers campaign, send it off to the Fund for Animals. Attention, Save the Tigers. Be sure to mark it that way so they know it's not just a general contribution. 200 West 57th Street, New York, New York, 10019. That's the Fund for Animals. Attention, Save the Tigers. 200 West 57th Street, New York, New York, 10019. Any amount would be helpful. And along those same lines, but sort of more locally, there's some really cool tiger rescue calendars that some of the folks that have been out there helping and volunteering have put together. And it'd be an awesome sort of stocking stuffer or some other nice little gift this time of year. They're $10, and again, it's to raise money. And no one's making any money on this. This is to help the animals and get them relocated and looked after in the meantime. So in that case, if you'd like to get a couple of tiger rescue calendars or more, maybe get a handful of them for the family and friends and everybody, send that check. $10 covers the whole thing, including the postage and whatever, to come back to you, to Cindy Tracy. That's Traisi, the Fund for Animals Wildlife Center, 18740 Highland Valley Road, Ramona, California, 92065. That's Cindy Tracy, the Fund for Animals Wildlife Center, 18740 Highland Valley Road, Ramona, California, 92065. All right, so that's Tiger Rescue. Meanwhile, in terms of other just rescue sites on a more general basis, I stumbled across this thing a while back that I've been mentioning in the last several shows. It's called the Animal Rescue Site, S-I-T-E. And it's basically a website where if you go, basically every day, you can go at least, you can go once a day. And it's the animal, www.theanimalrescuesite, again, site.com. You go there and you just click on Feed an Animal in Need. And because of some arrangement that they've made with sort of corporate sponsors and advertisers, this releases funds for animals to indeed be fed or otherwise looked after at a variety of rescue facilities. So check that out. You can go, like I say, every day, and that just appears to help rescue facilities help animals. So again, if I haven't heard any downside to this, any catch, if there is one that you know about, please let us know. 949-824-5824 or talkinganimals@aol.com. And locally, semi-locally at least, there's two sort of versions to this story. The first one was that a guy near the Santa Monica Mountains had gotten a permit to kill the last male mountain lion in the area because he says that the mountain lion had killed a few of his, I think five of his goats. So that seemed troubling in a lot of ways. But not a day or two later, it was a follow-up story. These are both in the LA Times, at least where I saw them. And the headline of the newer story is Hunt for Lone Male Lion Called Off. So, and he canceled the search after apparently the cat moved further away, and he says he never intended to have it killed anyway. So, that's more like it, right? Still alive, in fact, the story says. The last male lion in the Santa Monica Mountains is no longer being pursued by the government hunter who was dispatched after the lion killed several goats belonging to a local landowner. The radio-collared mountain lion, or puma, known as P1, has continued to move north and west of the corralled goats, according to a team of biologists tracking him for the Natural Park Service. Quote, P1 has moved further away and is feeding on a mule deer kill, said Woody Smeck, superintendent of the Santa Monica Mountains National Recreation Area. So he's back on his natural prey and out of danger. So, yay for that, relatively speaking. I have a few more either news items or announcements, but I want to also introduce a new little tiny feature in the midst of the news, which is a quick quiz. One of our more devoted listeners, Liz, sent in a very cool animal quiz. So what we're going to do is each week, every news segment, we're going to toss out one of the questions. And if you get the answer right and you call in, or you're the first to call in, then you get a prize. We're big on prizes here at Hog Animals. It's fun, right? So these are simply true-false questions. So let's go with this. True or false? The hummingbird is the only bird that can fly backward. True or false? Let us know. 949-824-5824-949-UCI-KUCI. The first one that calls in with that. Yeah, that's right. There's a prize. Okay. Carrying on with the animal news. This goes back to a while back. We had Catherine, I'll blank on her name, but I'll think of it one sec. Anyways, who's been very much at the forefront of trying to get Ruby, the elephant that was relocated from the LA Zoo to the Knoxville Zoo and sort of taken away from her companion of 16 years, Gita. So this announcement says on December 25th, Christmas Day, it'll be 7 months since Ruby, the elephant, was separated from her companion of 16 years, Gita. So please join us. This actually, it was going to be yesterday, but I think it got rained out because it's not such a pleasant day. But they're going to do it again this coming Sunday when they again descend on the LA Zoo to educate zoogoers about Rudy's plight and ask for their help. Be asking visitors to sign a special oversized Christmas card for Ruby, letting her know that she's not forgotten. The card will be sent to her at Knoxville Zoo, and copies will be sent to appropriate entities. Ruby remains segregated from the other elephants and is likely spending almost all her time indoors in a small stall. Temperature in Knoxville is dropping with lows in the 20s overnight and snow showers expected. It's quite a change, of course, from Ruby's life in L.A. She's possibly being exercised as little as 2 times a week. So don't forget Ruby this holiday season. Help us remind the L.A. Zoo that they need to keep their promise and bring Ruby home. So that's this coming Sunday, December 14th, 10 a.m. to noon, the Los Angeles Zoo. Meet at the ticketing station, south side, where people exit after having bought their tickets. And you can get directions to that at www.lazoo.org/zooinformation2.html. But basically, if you just go to lazoo.org, you can go get there from there. And the people organizers will provide flyers and petitions. Parking's free. And again, God forbid if it rains again, then it won't happen. But definitely we want to like get Ruby back. And those of us who have a particular fondness for elephants have been quite concerned about this whole story. So, notice this a few days back. On Tuesday, December 2nd, a steer made a daring escape from a slaughterhouse in Detroit, Michigan. The 1,800-pound animal around through busy city streets, shocking passersby in a desperate fight for his life. He was eventually quarantined in a vacant lot and tranquilized by a veterinarian. The steer is now being held at a farm while the slaughterhouse decides his fate. A Michigan animal sanctuary, Sasha Farm, has offered the steer a home. We, of course, want the slaughterhouse to relinquish custody of the steer to the sanctuary. The local community has rallied behind the steer. Many are raising money in hopes of buying him. But we asked the slaughterhouse to give him to Sasha Farm for free. We don't think the slaughterhouse deserves a dime. Please call, of course I'm reading here. Please call slaughterhouse officials to ask them to do the right thing by giving the steer to Sasha Farm. And specifically, put a call into Nazem Saeed, to Al-Badir Slaughterhouse. And those phone numbers are area code 313-567-6003 or 313-567-6000. So it's a fairly urgent situation. Just pick up the phone if you could and make a call on behalf of this steer. I mean, my God, if he made a daring escape from a slaughterhouse, don't you think he deserves that kind of reprieve at the very least, even whatever your argument was before that? And lastly, just want to call your attention to something that's been in the news lately, and there's been a few developments that I meant to get to this last week, but sort of ran short of time, but it's still very current, especially one thing I'll get to in a sec about it. But this regards the Sea Shepherd. This is the amazing ship that goes all over the various seas where bad things are happening to marine life, and it's currently in the midst of a sort of urgent life and death campaign in Taiji, Japan, to stop the annual Japanese dolphin slaughter. So that's gotten pretty complicated. There's been some arrests of the crew members, I urge you to go to www.seashepherd.org and get updated on the news and what's been happening and some of the problems there with some of the crew people. And but more to the point, I guess the reason I also bring this up now is on December 10th, it's Wednesday, there's an international protest against dolphin slaughter. And it's happening at a number of locations, primarily at Japanese consulates around the world. So, again, you can check that out, find out, maybe you can go to the local Japanese consulate if you have time on Wednesday to sort of make your voice heard in that regard. Again, www.seashepherd.org will put you on track for that info. So that's pretty much going to conclude this week's Animal News and Talking Animals. Any thoughts, questions, concerns, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI. Anybody know the hummingbird question? You'll win a prize if you do. Anyways, we're going to carry on now with by stepping into the Comedy Corner, Talking Animals Comedy Corner, with, as always, a piece of animal-oriented stand-up. And back in July, in the Comedy Corner, we featured part of a long Jerry Seinfeld routine about horses. Well, today we're going to hear, we're going to hear the other part of it. This is the first portion of Horses by Jerry Seinfeld, KUCI.
When you're on the road, which I am not now, you have to do whatever anybody suggests to do for that day, because you got to do something. A couple weeks ago, we were in Pittsburgh. We went to the track, bet on the horses. This is idiotic. I think it's fun, but I never would think for a second that I could figure out what horse is going to win. I don't even think the horses know that they're racing. Do they? I mean, are they walking back to the stable afterwards going, I was third, I was fifth, I was ninth. You cut me off. Watch that. I'll kick your ass next time. I think more likely they're thinking, oat bag, I get my oat bag now. Oat bag time for me. I mean, I'm sure the horses have some idea that the jockey is in a hurry. I mean, he's on him, he's urging him, he's hitting him, come on, you know. So this is important that I get somewhere for this guy quick, but they must get to the end and go, we were just here, what was the point of that? This is where we were. That was the longest possible route you could take to get where you wanted to be. Why don't we just stay here? We would have been first. I'll tell you one thing the horses definitely do not know. They do not know if you should accidentally trip and break your leg at any point during the race, we're going to blow your brains out. I think they're missing that little tidbit of information. If they knew that, you'd see some mighty careful stepping coming down that home stretch. Easy, fellas, easy. You win, I'll place, whatever it is. It's all the same oat bag, fellas. The important thing is your health.
All right, you're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI 88.9 FM. I'm Duncan Strauss, and that was Jerry Seinfeld with the first part of Horses, taken from his album, I'm Telling You, for the Last Time. Comedy Corner is a weekly feature of Talking Animals. Some might even say a signature feature of Talking Animals. And of course, if you have a suggestion of an animal-oriented piece of comedy you think we should feature in the Comedy Corner, we'd really welcome this input. Again, you can call it in, 949-824-5824, or email us at talkinganimals at AOL.com. And as many of you know, we stream live on the Internet here at www.kuci.org. And beyond that, of course, it's an excellent varied website with a schedule of all the programming. It sort of tracks it each day, sort of show by show, hour by hour. Of course, you can also see the overall week-long schedule. Look for your favorite shows. There's also CD reviews, a feature article, a list of upcoming bands playing live on the station, special guests that are appearing on the talk shows and public affair programmings, and other elements. So that's KUCI.org. And while we're talking about nifty websites, we'd be remiss if we didn't once again mention our site, TalkingAnimals.net. Check it out. Sign up for our email list. We can keep you posted on upcoming guests and other cool announcements and other neat stuff there, too. Before we proceed, I am obliged to remind you that the opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. Earlier in the show, I mentioned that this week's guest is Meryl Marco, an Emmy-winning television writer, the author of several books, including Things That Dogs Have Taught Me, and is the very first head writer on the very first David Letterman show. Meryl created Stupid Pet Tricks, which has been a signature segment on Letterman's programs for nearly 25 years. So, in a conversation recorded the Monday before last, this is Meryl Marco on Talking Animals here on KUCI. Okay, joining us today on Talking Animals is Meryl Marco. Thanks for joining us, Meryl.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I know dogs have been an important part of your life, and at times, obviously, an important part of your work, which I hope to discuss momentarily. But I guess it might be interesting to get some context by first learning about your history with animals. Did you grow up with animals, and have always sort of a lifelong relationship with animals, or?
I guess I got a dog when I was about 13, and I guess I did. I've always liked animals, mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I grew up with animals, although I don't really have anything more flattering than that to say about my parents, but.
I see. Okay. So when you were 13, there was a dog, though, that joined the household.
Yeah, there was a dog.
Cool. And did you just sort of really instantly have, an amazing kind of bond?
I actually really wanted a dog, and I was whining at my parents to get me a dog, and we got a beagle, and it's not a breed of dog I would recommend readily if my beagle had anything much to, the obvious kind of beagle. I mean, it was the kind of dog, if you came up to it and it was looking at food on the counter, it would bite you.
Wow.
Because it would just get you, you would have caught it in the middle of a reverie.
I see. Gee, that doesn't sound too friendly.
No.
No. Wow. And then, but from that beagle forward, was there always kind of then a dog in your life, or dogs?
I guess so. Actually, I guess there was. Well, actually, I got really involved. This is a kind of ghastly, but I got really involved living with a lot of dogs after I was a victim of a crime.
Oh, my gosh, how so?
I had somebody break into my house, and I thought, well, let's see if we can't get something a little bit alarm-oriented around here.
So that's when you started to have not only a dog, but multiple dogs?
Yeah, there's one right now.
Wow, right on cue. That's cool.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, so as a security measure, is that kind of what...
Well, yeah, I was about 19 at that point, and somebody broke in, and yeah, so at that point, I've never lived without a dog since then. Just a minute. Puppy boy, shut up! Sorry.
No problem. Sometimes they have to have a stern talking to.
Yes.
But, so, okay, but it sounds like, well, initially it was security-driven, but, you know, to have multiple dogs and to talk and speak as fondly and write as fondly as you have for years and years, it sounds like it's more than just, let's get things a little safer.
Well, I like them plenty well, or I would have, I could have hired security guards. You
sure.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't only that, but that was my motive for, at the one point, of getting a number of them. And then, actually, I never meant to have four, but I got, when I had two and then one. When those both died, I had one dog that I got from the pound, and within a couple of weeks, I had three more. They were one I found two. One was unloaded on me. One moved in from around the block. So it just sort of works like that.
And have they tended to be, you know, a certain kind of dog, or is it just kind of whoever's around?
Been who's ever around. I ended up having a purebred in the bunch of four by accident because I found him on the highway. It was a Shih Tzu. I never would have gotten a Shih Tzu, nor would I have wanted a little dog, but there he was, and, you know, I liked him pretty well almost immediately after trying to return him to someone and no one taken him. I had a Shih Tzu, so, yeah, the rest of them have just been mutts. I've pretty much been getting them from the places where, you know, there's too many dogs, like pounds and
sure, just kind
streets.
Of rescuing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so how many and what kind, you know, currently reside with you then?
Well, I as I was telling you before, I had a weird year because I had four dogs and they were all, since I didn't get any of them intentionally except one, they all ended up to being about the same age.
Yeah.
And I had three of them die last year, all of them from old age, but
geez.
It was, I knew there was a nightmarish year coming because they were all getting to be 14, you know, and 15 and... From the minute I got them, I knew there was a nightmare year coming because they all, well, I never did know how old they were. You know, you get a rescue dog, and
right.
I knew they were approximately a certain age or other. But yeah, so I lost three in 1 year, which was pretty ghastly. And then the remaining few were kind of looking at me with suspicion because they didn't know where the other ones went, but they knew that I was linked to all the disappearances.
Right.
So they were
certainly not somebody to be trusted without looking both ways, I guess. Right?
Yeah, I was kind of the Scott Peterson of the household.
I see. Wow, well, I hope things have lightened up around there in all kinds of ways since then. But
They have, actually. I have one remaining of that bunch, and he's the baby of the bunch, and he's now 12.
Wow.
He's doing okay, but he's now getting shots and acupuncture, and, you know, he takes 100 kinds of vitamins a day.
Wow.
And then I've got, that's Lewis. That's the one I've written the most about.
Sure.
That's the one who has
the
reading disorder, and old age has not slowed his reading down one bit.
Oh, really? His is exuberant as ever?
He's more than exuberant.
Yes.
He's a source of great irritation to almost everybody who comes over to my house.
I see.
What I think of as exuberant, lots of people find incredibly annoying.
Sure, sure, over the line, yeah. But, okay, so there's Lewis, and then who else is lurking around there?
Well, then the guy you just heard barking, that's my boyfriend had a lot of dogs, and they all seem to live here now. When I met him, he was whining about how all his... Every relationship he had, he wound up with an animal. And oddly enough, I have all the animals now.
Wow.
And he seems to... I don't have all of them. I made him take Dinky, who is a miniature dachshund. I've been making him take her back because she's... I've never known a dog like this. She's like 13 years old, and she still can't figure out the difference between inside and outside.
Meaning with bathroom habits? Is that what you...
Bathroom habits, yes.
Oh, jeez.
I never had a dog like that. Every dog I know has always cooperated in the extreme. You know, they're always happy to go outside. But Dinky, it's like you can see her continuously thinking, okay, well, I've got it now. It's like eat inside, pee
inside,
poo out inside. No.
Oh, wow.
Eat inside, pee outside, poo inside. No. Eat... outside. She actually stands at the door and pees inside. She'll stand and bark at the door and then pee. Or she'll stand and bark at the door, go outside, do nothing, and then come inside and pee.
Now, is she truly that confused? I mean, there's no... it almost sounds defiant the way you're describing it, but it sounds like she might just be that befuddled at this point. So.
I don't have any idea.
Yeah.
All I know is when I started... I've known her father for 2 years, and when we started spending all our time together...
Yeah.
I thought, well, I can straighten this out.
Sure.
So I,
yeah.
I've never had a dog that has this problem. There's something he's doing that's wrong. So I started being really fastidious about, you know, putting her in a cage and then taking her out and letting her pee outside. I haven't had the tiniest dent on her behavior. She's
wow.
In fact, she'll actually pee in her own bed or pee in my bed. So she's actually defying all the rules of nature. And I've never known dogs who did that.
And an equal opportunity urinator, apparently. It sounds like she'll go anywhere, pretty much.
And I've already had three new sets of rugs since I've had her because of...
Oh, my God.
She's very destructive. She's the second most destructive, only after my dog, Tex, who's not with us anymore, but who actually used to eat through walls in an attempt to spend a little more time with me.
Wow, that's determination.
Yeah, that was determination.
Yikes. And but
so I have her, but he's got her. I'm making him bring her back to his house when he's not here.
So she's not really allowed on the premises unless he's supervising.
She's allowed here if he's here.
I see. Okay.
Although I'm not really, it isn't that I'm hostile toward her, but I don't see any reason why he shouldn't take care of her some of the time.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's divide the cleanup. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm a full-time resident, I got Puppy Boy, who's what I call a Tijuana Shepherd. He's one of these dogs. I was thinking he's the dog equivalent of a heroin addict. Like when you wake up in the middle of the night, he's standing there with a ball in his mouth.
Oh, my God.
Like, come on, man. It's been a half an hour since we last played.
Yeah. Oh, my God. How old is this guy?
He's another rescue. He was found out in front of Largo on Fairfax.
So oh, wow.
He's a nightclubber. So
cool.
He, I would say he's six-ish, seven-ish.
Okay. And he's, since the whole time you've known him, he sounds like he is eager, literally, I guess, around the clock to play. And,
there's no time of day or night that isn't completely perfect for playing, including when I'm in the bathtub and I'm reading and I fall asleep and then I hear, bloop, and then I notice he's dropping things in the bathtub.
Including hints, I guess, yeah. But
he's really funny. He might be the funniest dog I've ever seen. He actually is persistent along the lines of, when he takes something and he puts it on you, anything is good for throwing, you know, stuffed animals, newspapers, anything he finds on the floor, anything he finds anywhere is a toy. And he comes and he puts it on your lap, and then if you ignore him, which almost everyone does because he's so persistent, then he moves it a little closer, and then he moves it a little closer, like, maybe perhaps you didn't notice, and then you're like, it can't be that you're ignoring me, because if you would look down, you would see that right on your knee.
Yeah, how dumb are you people, right? Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious.
He sounds like
a hoot, yeah. And then is there also a cat somehow mixed
in
with
all this?
Yeah,
now there's a cat. That came with the boyfriend also. The cat. I've never had a cat here before. She's very funny.
Now, how do you feel about a cat and or at least that cat?
She kind of reminds me of the guys I date. She's like having somebody with like a personality disorder, that come here, go away thing, you know, like you go up to her and she lets you know that she likes you and then she runs away really fast. It's like a passive aggressive person.
Sure,
you know?
Very confusing.
Yeah.
And how do the resident dogs feel about this cat?
Actually, the one dog grew up with her,
right, so
he doesn't have any problem. And my dog Lewis is mainly preoccupied with bugging people. He doesn't really care about anything else.
So the greeting disorder doesn't really apply to the cat, it sounds like.
No, and also he's getting slow. Lewis weighs about 115 pounds, so like he's got a little bit of a hip issue. So even if he were interested, which he doesn't appear to be, he couldn't really go after her. So.
I got you. And Marilyn, at what point did you, because it sounds like, just as we just heard, there's always interesting, amusing things going on with dogs and now, I guess, cats. So at what point did you start incorporating, your love for dogs, your relationship with dogs into your work? Was there a specific incident that one day said, hey, I just have to write about this, or?
Well, I guess it was when I worked on the Letterman show and I had to write such a quantity of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I started getting columns in magazines, and then that also was a demand for a continuum of material. And, you know, when you're sitting around your house and you're going, what else is there? What else is there? What else is there? I started using them because I guess I would have written more about children if I had any. But since this is what was hanging around, you know, I just started. I find them endlessly amusing. I just find them hilarious.
Right.
So it's easy for me to supply them with... I mean, all I have to do is think for a couple of minutes about what they seem to be thinking. I like to stay inside of their actual frame of reference as opposed to pretend that they read the papers or anything.
Sure, right, yeah.
But what their frame of reference is so intense and yet so limited, I find that completely funny.
Well, just like the guy who drops the ball and then drops it closer, and then, you know, it's like, hey, what do I have to do to get your attention?
His range of thinking is so small, and yet he's so obsessed with it. It's very funny to me.
You have to admire that kind of focus, if nothing else. Yeah, that's cool.
It's not the lack of content.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. So then that then just sort of begat kind of the essays and columns, as you say, and then the dog sort of books. Sometimes the titles are more, dog-oriented than sometimes what's in them, but it sounds like there's been quite a few books, including a children's book that I'd sort of forgotten about before I prepared for this.
Usually the first two books I put out, which I think are not even in print anymore, but they have a lot of essays about dogs because they were collections of my columns. In my columns, I was on a cycle where I found, like, every fifth week I would be out of a topic, so I'd write one about dogs.
Sure, can't go wrong, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know... you referred to back to today's writing on the Letterman show, and I guess be interested to know, just when it comes to Stupid Petrix, which was your invention, sort of just what you think all these years later of, like, kind of what hath it wrought, sort of, in that, a zillion shows, of course, have ripped it off to various degrees, and now there's entire shows, an Animal Planet, I guess, elsewhere, that are strictly devoted to that, and just, you know, what
I'm
you
just
think.
Sorry there's never been any money in it for me.
Right, there should be some sort of royalty.
Nothing off of that. That's the true tragedy of the whole thing, is that I don't get a royalty of it.
Yeah. But also, too, that when you guys were doing it back in the day, it seemed like, you know, here's some animals that have some kind of weird or obsessive behavior, but they just have it, just like the dog that keeps pushing the ball closer and closer.
The way I thought of it. I can remember very clearly what the origin of the whole thought was. Well, the first origin was that when you do a five-day-a-week show, you have to come up with an infinite amount of things, and anything that you could repeat is a gift because you have to keep coming up with stuff.
Sure.
So if you can say, okay, let's do that again, you've made life a lot easier for yourself.
Sure.
But what I was thinking about when I came up with that, I was thinking of when I was in college, and I was in art school, and we used to have zero money. Two friends of mine who had a Great Dane, and my boyfriend and I were sitting around one evening with nothing to do, and the centerpiece of what we did that evening, besides drink, was we put socks on the Great Dane. We thought that was completely hilarious for some reason. Perhaps drinking had something to do with it. I was thinking later, you know, everybody I know has some one thing like that they do with their animals, something really stupid that they think is really funny. Like, actually, in the case of Dave and myself, we used to put shirts on our dogs, sometimes T-shirts. You know?
Oh, hilarious.
That sort of stupid stuff. And so that was where I got the idea. And for me, I was thinking of it being anything that you ask your dog to do for company because you know it's funny. Like, you know, you turn on the vacuum cleaner and they run in a circle or something.
Sure.
That would be anything you could consistently predict they were going to do.
Right, right. But it seems like, don't you think over time that instead of that, it's really become... Well, at least it appears that people now have encouraged or trained or even manipulated their animal behavior so as to get on whatever TV show or segment on whatever TV show, which seems like kind of a whole different...
Well, that's the whole nature of TV. I
mean, yeah.
Anybody who's going to go on TV is going to try to get on TV.
Sure, sure.
I don't know. You know, I don't watch that show or any of those shows, so
right.
I don't even know what's on them.
Yeah.
I know everybody was... there was always a pretty big range of ridiculous... things that people had their dogs doing. I remember a dog, like, getting a rock out of a goldfish bowl, you know, sticking his head in and pulling it. I mean, I don't know how to me, it always looked like the kind of thing, like, it's hard to imagine how this all came about, but at some point, you saw the dog doing it, and then you start reinforcing it. Like, my dog, Lewis, he's had some surgery, so he lost his voice, but now he's, instead of speaking, he now whispers. And that would have been a stupid Petrix to me, because, like, when you go... Lewis, speak. He goes, which, I mean, it's so...
very muted.
It's very predictable, but it's so ridiculous that it's very funny. So
not really speaking.
You could never have really taught him to do that, but since he was doing it anyway, you could give it a name. And
sure. Yeah, I guess there's just sort of a realm that seems now where people are taking what you're describing and really training, it seems like, their animals strictly so they can end up on whatever show it might be, which, you know, then seems, and may or may not cross a slightly into a slightly different area of you know, just sort of a, you know, using your animal to, like, hey, I want to be on TV if we can get to...
As long as it isn't hurting the animals. I don't know if they're hurting the animals, then, because I know when we after we had Stupid Petricks, we thought of, you know, I thought of Stupid Human Tricks, which I figured, well, that's people
the
doing whatever
step.
They do
sure.
around people. And then we actually, for a minute, thought of Stupid Baby Tricks, and we canned that one because we thought, well, this is going to be people endangering their children, and we better not... step into
encourage
that little area.
Yeah.
But I don't, hopefully people aren't endangering their animals with what they're teaching them. I don't know what... I know when we started also, Dave had a morning show, and then it got canceled, and we had Stupid Petricks on there, and when it came back, NBC, the people at NBC told us they had done some research, and when we put together the night show, their research proved that people didn't really want to see untrained animals. They wanted to see animals doing trained tricks, and I said, what do you mean, like a horse that can count? And they said, yeah.
Hmm.
I said, well, that's nothing at all like what we had in mind, so it's a circus act.
Sure.
What's the charm in that? So
right,
I don't know if they've
gone,
that's where they've ended up.
Bring on Ringling Brothers at that point, I suppose. Yeah. And, all right, we're just sort of nearing the end of our time, Merle, but you also alluded to Stupid Human Tricks, and I understand you're kind of in the tail end of writing a new book that's about stupid human behavior, so help but be curious about that. Is that a multi-volume set, or is there a certain focus?
It should be a multi-volume set. Well, no, my new book is, it'll be out next summer, and I actually wrote it with somebody. I wrote it with this guy, who I had a correspondence with for a couple of years, named Andy Prevoy. He said,
"Oh yeah, the musician."
Yeah.
Oh wow, cool.
He and I wrote every other chapter. It's a sort of a he said she said, and it's called Psycho X Game, and it's two people competing for points as to who had the more horrible previous love life.
Wow.
For points, and
determined by who though? I mean, how do you who judges such a thing?
Well, it's what you give yourself points is
with
the game, and
okay.
and in so it's a storytelling competition with a plot of two people's lives and two people's stories, and you get points for like being complicit in horrible behavior, or rationalizing someone's bad behavior and living with it, or helping in bad behavior. Anything you do to humiliate yourself, you can take points for.
Wow, and I guess you're on the honor system as to how many points you're going to take in each case.
Yeah, well, that's what it is, and he and I were actually playing this game for a time, and what we found was we started out getting 5 and 10 points for things, and by the end of the game, before it turned into a premise for a piece of fiction, I got 5 points before I was giving myself 50,000 points for.
Wow, that's great inflation.
Out of control.
Yeah. Well, this sounds pretty interesting. That's cool, and Andy Prevoy, pretty interesting guy himself over the years. So that's got to be a great combination, you two. So
yeah.
Cool, Merle. Well, I really, really appreciate you joining us today on Talking Animals, and we'll at some point. You know, maybe check back and see what's up next with, the animals there and other writings. And
by the way, Andy Prevoy, father of Puppy Boy and the cat.
Oh, wow. Okay. Gee, I was a little slow on the uptake, but I guess I should have put that together.
Yeah.
Very cool. Excellent.
Father of the dog that pisses indoors.
Wow.
Excuse me, I shouldn't have said, you might have to bleep me.
No. Oh. I think pisses works. But, well, cool. See, now it all fits together.
Yeah.
Interesting. I used to, years and years ago, and I'm dating myself, which is, you know, whatever, but I used to see a band fronted by Andy Prevoy.
Wall of Voodoo?
Yeah, but I think there was some other band that he might have even been in before that.
Eye Protection?
Yeah. So that's,
oh, really? You're from San Francisco, then?
I went to school up there, and so that's how old I am. But I always loved Andy Prevoy, so that's cool. Well, good. This all sounds really interesting, and we'll check out that book, and the title is...
That's the Psycho X Game, that's not till next summer.
Okay, well, we'll just have
to
be patient.
We're turning it in now.
All right, gotcha. All right, Merle, well, thank you so much for joining us on Talking Animals, and we'll hope to check back with you another time soon.
All right, good luck.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye now.
All right, we want to thank again Merle Marco for joining us today on Talking Animals. Already looking forward to that forthcoming book. And meanwhile, any of our current ones would certainly make a cool, nifty Christmas gift for anyone on your shopping list who's an animal lover and or lover of good, sharp, funny writing. So, and the... interview with Merrill leads us somewhat thematically, right into an animal song of sorts by Neil Finn, and then it's at least partly about the Finn family dog, who unfortunately is no longer with us. It's Anytime by Neil Finn. KC.
See a dog on the road, running hard to catch a cat. Car is pulling to a halt. The truck behind me doesn't know. Everything is in the balance of a moment I can't control. And your sympathetic strings are like stirrings in my soul.
That's Neil Finn from his last solo album, One All, with Any Time. I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI in Irvine, 88.9 FM, streaming live on the internet at kuci.org. It's time now to proceed to Name That Animal Tune. And this is remarkably like any version of Name That Tune you'd care to mention, except that in this game, the tunes are always animal-related, just by virtue of one or more animals being part of the song title. Occasionally it's a bit more indirect than that. Either way, like most renditions of this game, it can only provide a brief snippet of the tune in question for a number of reasons, not least that while, of course, the game hinges on a song being somewhat recognizable, we don't want to stray too far for too long from the KUCI music policy. So with that preamble behind us, but also there's always a prize, yes, yes, a prize for the first caller who correctly identifies the song and artist. So as soon as you recognize this animal tune, please phone 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI. All right, let's get started. It's Talking Animals on KUCI. Anybody? K KUCI, you're on the air. KUCI, you're on the air. KUCI, you're on the air. Well, I guess we lost him.
No, I'm here.
Oh, cool. Hey.
I was just talking while you were talking.
Oh, sorry. All right, who's this?
This is Jim.
Jim?
Yeah, it's Steve Miller, Fly Like an Eagle.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, I'm an old fart, so I know stuff like this.
Well, you know, we try to mix it up, and we have stuff for young farts, old farts, and other farts. But cool, Jim. And do you have an animal at home that lives with you, or one or more?
I live with her, actually. She runs the house. She's the cat.
The cat? Cool. Well, with that in mind, you are definitely the winner of this week's Name That Animal Tune, and we have a few different choices for cool prizes. But given that it's a cat, let me throw out a couple possibilities right off the bat. We have some cat toys. We also have a lint roller, which is good for getting stuff off clothes and furniture. Let's see what else. Also, based on some of the past guests, we have a Ian Anderson CD. We have a copy of the book For Bee, the story of the beagle who changed my life. Not really cat-oriented, but it's a pretty cool story. We've got some calendars, really cool, like World Wildlife Calendar, a PETA calendar, Friends of the Animal calendar. What else? We've got some safety collars. We've got some little stuffed toys that sometimes cats enjoy, at least ours do at home. Anything there, Grabby Jim?
Either the collars or the toys would be fine.
Okay, cool. Well, tell you what, why don't you just email me at talkinganimals@AOL.com. And, you know, that way I can get in touch with you and send you your whatever you prefer of those things. And thanks for calling in and being on Talking Animals.
No problem. Thanks.
Right,
you have a good day.
All right. Thanks. You too. Bye-bye. KCI, you're on the air? Nope. Okay. All right, then. Well, that's how the game's played. And, that also puts us pretty much at the end of this week's this show. So I want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the UC Board of Regents. I want to thank again our guest, Meryl Marco. And I also want to thank you for listening. And I want to thank Jim for playing Name That Animal Tune. And he's a winner. So I hope everybody will join us next Monday on Talking Animals, when our guest will be Michael Mountain, president and one of the founders of Best Friends Animal Society, the nation's largest sanctuary for cats, dogs, and other animals. He's also a pivotal figure in the No Homeless Pets movement. So so that's next Monday, December 15th. On the music side, by the way, the KUCI schedule also hosts a show called The Dead Air Zone, Thursdays from 4 to 5 p.m., so when you have a chance, please check it out. Again, I want to thank, urge you to check out our nifty website, talkinganimals.net, and please, when you get there, sign up for our email list so we can alert you to guest bookings and other announcements, stuff that's going on here in the world of Talking Animals. And I encourage you to email me with comments, guest suggestions, ideas about show topics, songs, comedy bits, news stories, anything else you'd like to pass along at talkinganimals@AOL.com. Look forward to hearing from you. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease. And this is 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. We'll catch you next week on Talking Animals. And, of course, as always, we're going to close out things with an animal-related tune, maybe an insect-related tune in this case. It's Joan Armour Trading and Love Book on KUCI.
All that's on my mind. My baby's here in my arms. You know we got it bad, 'cause tonight we've got the love virus. We've both come down with love bug. Enemies, we got to stay in bed. I hope you guys don't catch this, 'cause it knocks you right off. Explain the symptoms.
You see, hear, think, talk, dream, care just for one person only. Don't come down with love, cause it drives the sense right out of your head. This thing strides in a furious way.
Knockout Greg from Knockout Greg and Blue Weather, and you're listening to Jeff Scott infecting you with the blues disease.
Are you ready? 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 Father back in '63, stands on the corner, don't